Welcome to the teaching ministry of Daybreak Community Church. They invite you to join them for worship at 10 a.m. Sunday morning at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester. More information is at dccworcester.org. Here's Pastor Richard Frazier bringing real hope to real people from Daybreak Community Church.
Good morning, my friends. I'm Pastor Richard Frazier from Daybreak Community Church in downtown Worcester. We're glad you could join us here on 104.5 The River. Before we jump into today's special message, let us prepare our hearts for the reading of today's scripture.
Good morning, Daybreak. Pastor Rich has a powerful message this morning. The title is The Journey to Pentecost, Waiting for the Promise. How many of you like waiting? Huh? Did you say anything? Like, I don't know how many times in my life, I always seem to want to get ahead of the will of God. I do not want to wait. You know, as a popular singer once sang, the waiting is the hardest part, right? It's like we just don't want to do it. But Pastor Rich has a message today that will help us look at waiting in a totally different light. And basically, waiting is not some passive delay, right? We're just going to sit here and twiddle our thumbs. But in the waiting, it's trusting God is going to provide the answer. Trusting God is going to deliver us. And trusting God to come through for us. So I hope this message challenges you to wait on God's will and don't be like me and try to get ahead of it seemingly all the time. So our passage this morning is coming from Acts 1, and it's Verse 14. I'm going to go ahead and read this, but then I'm going to go ahead and read the larger passage from Acts 1, 12 to 26. But verse 14, which Pastor Rich is going to use as a springboard for his message, is, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. And so why did they gather, right? Why is this prayer? Let me go ahead and read the larger passage. And this is under the title that Matthias chosen to replace Judas. Verse 12, then they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry. Then there is a parenthetical expression. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. That ends the parenthetical expression. And picking up in verse 20, for, Peter said, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs." Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. So there's the reading of God's word. Amen.
Thank you, Bobby, for the reading of God's word. Good morning, my friends. To begin, let me say that we live in a world that doesn't like to wait, which is kind of the understatement of the year. Think about it. We're surrounded by instant gratification, fast food, same-day shipping, and answers at our fingertips. Waiting feels like a waste of time. It's uncomfortable, frustrating, and sometimes even painful. When life puts us on pause, we often find ourselves anxious, restless, or discouraged, wondering why God hasn't moved yet or why our prayers seem to linger unanswered. But what if waiting isn't just about passing time, but about preparing us for something greater? What if the season of waiting is not wasted, but purposeful? God using it to shape us, grow us, and ready us for what's next. Think about the disciples after Jesus ascended into heaven. They had just witnessed something extraordinary. Jesus rising into the sky, returning to the Father, and leaving them with the promise of the Holy Spirit. But there was no timeline given, no clear indication of how long they would have to wait. All they knew was Jesus said to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Imagine the tension they must have felt. They were eager, uncertain, and likely feeling the weight of responsibility that Jesus had just placed on them to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. But instead of giving in to fear or impulsively taking matters into their own hands, they did something truly remarkable. They gathered together, prayed, and waited with expectation. The disciples didn't treat waiting as wasting time. They treated it as a time of preparation and seeking God. And in that space between the promise given and the promise fulfilled, God was doing something profound in their hearts, unifying them, strengthening their faith, and readying them to receive the power that would change everything. Maybe you find yourself in a similar place today, waiting on God to move, waiting on answers, waiting for a breakthrough. I know it can feel like nothing is happening, but I want to encourage you. God is at work in your waiting. He is not idle or indifferent to your prayers. In fact, he's using this season to deepen your faith, sharpen your trust, and align your heart with his purposes. Today, we're going to explore how God uses waiting to prepare us for his promises. We'll look at how the disciples responded to their season of anticipation and how their example challenges us to embrace waiting with faith, not frustration. Because in God's kingdom, waiting is never wasted. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 26. It says, "Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, 'Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry. With the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong. His body burst open and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language, Akeldama, that is field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been living with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So they nominated two men, Joseph, called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Now that's a lot to take in. So first lesson we can take away from these verses is waiting is an act of faith. Waiting is an act of faith. Look at what it said in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. They all joined together constantly in prayer. Waiting is hard because it feels unproductive. We live in a culture that values immediate results, and when we don't see progress, it's easy to assume nothing is happening. But in God's kingdom, waiting is active and intentional. The disciples didn't just sit around doing nothing after Jesus ascended. They gathered together, prayed constantly, and prepared their hearts for what was to come. Now, they could have easily scattered, filled the time with busy work, or tried to make things happen in their own strength. Instead, they chose to wait on God's timing and seek his presence. They didn't let uncertainty drive them to fear or frustration. Instead, it drove them to prayer and unity. The kind of waiting is an act of faith. Choose to trust that God is at work even when you don't see it. It's like Emily when she plants seeds in the ground for her garden. She doesn't walk away just because she doesn't see sprouts immediately. Instead, she waters the soil, pulls the weeds, and nurtures what she planted, trusting that growth is happening beneath the surface. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, in the same way, spiritual growth takes time, and waiting is often a part of that process. God uses seasons of waiting to strengthen our faith, develop our character, and align our hearts with his purposes. We see this pattern throughout Scripture. Think of Abraham, who waited decades for the promised son, learning that God's promises never fail. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. Or what about Joseph, who waited in prison while God shaped him into a leader? Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Or how about David? David, who was anointed as king, but spent years waiting to take the throne, learning to trust God's timing. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14. In every case, God wasn't wasting time. He was preparing his people for what was next. The same is true for us. Seasons of waiting are opportunities to seek God with all our hearts, to grow in faith, and to trust that he is at work even when we don't see it. Second lesson this morning is waiting prepares us for what's next. Waiting prepares us for what's next. Look at what it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. You see, waiting isn't just about passing time. It's about active preparation for what God has in store. The disciples understood this. As they waited for the promised Holy Spirit, they didn't just sit idly by. They took a practical step of preparation by selecting Matthias to replace Judas. This was not just a logistical move. It was a demonstration of their commitment to God's ongoing work. They engaged in earnest prayer, seeking divine guidance, and they acted in faith by filling the vacancy that Judas had left. Now, notice how intentional they were about it. They didn't rush the decision or make it based on personal preference. Instead, they sought God's will, praying, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen." Acts chapter 1, verse 24. This moment teaches us that waiting can be a time of preparation and readiness. They knew that to step into the mission Jesus gave them, they needed to be fully equipped and unified. By restoring the 12, they were positioning themselves for what God was about to do. When we're in a season of waiting, it's tempting to focus on the delay and wonder, how long must I wait? But a better question is, what is God teaching me in this season? Or even, how can I better prepare myself for the future while I wait? Think about it. Is he building endurance and patience? James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Is he calling you to deepen your faith? Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Is he giving you time to heal and restore before moving forward? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. There are endless opportunities and reasons for the waiting, but through it all, we know that God has a plan and that his timing is perfect. God's timing is always perfect. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 2 says, until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. As we've been alluding to, one of the most challenging aspects of faith is trusting God's timing. After Jesus ascended, the disciples were left with his instructions, but without the promised Holy Spirit, at least not yet. Jesus had given them everything they needed to know, but the power to act on it had not yet arrived. This teaches us an essential truth. God's promises come in his perfect timing, not ours. Do you get that? It's God's timing, not ours. Imagine if the disciples had rushed ahead without waiting for the Holy Spirit. They could have tried to preach the gospel in their own strength, but it would have been an empty and powerless. Waiting on God was a powerful act of obedience and trust. How often do we try to force God's hand instead of trusting his plan? It's easy to move ahead of God, convinced that our way is quicker or better. But in Scripture, we repeatedly see that God's timing is not just good, it's perfect. Let us look at biblical examples of God's perfect timing. First, we have Abraham and Sarah. God promised them a son, but years went by without a child. Impatient, they took matters into their own hands, resulting in Ishmael in Genesis chapter 16. But when God's perfect timing arrived, Isaac was born, showing that God's promises cannot be rushed. Genesis chapter 21, verses 1 and 2. David's anointing and kingship. David was anointed as king when he was just a boy, but it took years and many trials before he actually took the throne. During that waiting period, God was shaping his character, preparing him to be a leader after his own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. And of course, we have Jesus' ministry. Even Jesus waited for the right time to reveal himself. At the wedding in Cana, he said to his mother, "My hour has not yet come." John chapter 2, verse 4. Later, he waited until Lazarus had died to visit Bethany so that God's glory would be displayed through the resurrection. John chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. Each of these stories show us that waiting is not a waste of time. It's a time when God is aligning circumstances, shaping our hearts, and preparing us for what's next. Forcing God's timing never ends well. It leads to pain and regret, but trusting his timing always brings about his greater purpose. And even though many of us would agree that this is all true, we still struggle. Our struggle often comes from impatience and a desire for control. We want to see results now. But God knows that character takes time to develop. We want immediate solutions. But God's working on eternal transformations. He is working an eternal timetable with the entire cosmos in mind. Daybreak Community Church. Waiting is never wasted in God's kingdom. Through the disciples' example, we see that waiting on God is never pointless. It is purposeful. It's a time when God strengthens our faith, prepares our hearts, and shapes our character for what's next. Think about what the disciples did during their waiting season. They didn't scatter. They didn't give up. They prayed constantly and prepared for the fulfillment of Jesus' promise. They didn't let fear, they didn't let frustration dictate their actions. Instead, they sought God's guidance and positioned themselves to receive what he had promised. In our own lives, waiting often feels like being stuck. I get it. Waiting seems like we feel stuck. But when we look through the lens of faith, we realize that waiting is part of God's process of equipping us. Maybe you are in a season where you're waiting for God to move, to answer a prayer, or to open a door. Remember that while you wait, God is working. He's not just preparing the blessing for you, he's preparing you for the blessing. Today, I want to challenge you to see waiting differently. That's my challenge today, to see waiting differently. Instead of viewing it as a frustrating delay, consider it an invitation to deepen faith and greater readiness. Ask God to teach you what he wants you to learn in this season. Seek his guidance, just as the disciples did. Stay faithful in prayer, just as they did. And trust that he's working behind the scenes, even when you can't see it. And just as the disciples waited for the Holy Spirit with expectancy and readiness, we too are called to wait with hope. Because as we'll see, their waiting was not in vain. On Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out, fulfilling the promise and launching the mission of the church. The season of waiting became a season of power. As we anticipate Pentecost in a couple weeks, let's hold on to the same expectancy. Let's believe that God's timing is perfect and that his Spirit moves when the time is right. Let us reflect upon his message, and God bless you. I personally want to say thank you for listening to today's message. I pray that the message challenged you and blessed you. Daybreak Community Church is a non-denominational church located at 342 Nold Avenue in downtown Worcester, and Sunday morning services are at 10 a.m. in person and on 104.5 The River. It is such a blessing for me to share God's truth with you each and every week. If you'd like to donate to our ministry, you can now do that online at dccworcester.org. That's dccworcester.org, Daybreak Community Church, dccworcester.org. All gifts are completely tax exempt and most definitely appreciated. Again, thank you all for taking the time to listen today, and thank you for supporting our ministry. God bless you.